commitment to the Lord. Are you ready to sacrifice for the glory of the kingdom, build and grow the kingdom? Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're in Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Now, this is pretty much the question that God gives to the people of Israel through Haggai. You've got paneled houses, yet look at mine. It's in ruins. Now is the time for building. Today is the day of salvation. We aren't to wait, sit around, set other priorities. And that's the challenge we have before us today. Join us for Abounding Grace, our teacher and pastor now. Once again in Haggai 1, here's Pastor Chris.
The first thing we read is that in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, that's the Jewish calendar, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, and it went directly to the heads of the people. Notice what it says here. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating section of Scripture. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 2, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. The second year of Darius was about 520 B.C. That means that from 538 B.C. to 520 B.C., the building stopped. It'd be like laying the foundation out here, and the whole thing stops for 20 years. Why? Why? Well, we know, putting this all together, they had faced all kinds of external opposition. In Ezra 4, Rehum, commander in Samaria, and Shimshai wrote a letter to Artaxerxes calling him, "You cease the building," threatening, and so upon acceptance, they went up to Jerusalem and made them stop the construction of the temple by force. Ezra 4:24 reads, "Thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Opposition, opposition, opposition. Now, why all this background? Well, the Lord is sending a lawsuit. And this is the Old Testament. We're operating under the Old Covenant. And the Lord is sending a lawsuit through his prophet because by 520, the second year of Darius has arrived. And because of the opposition, they are now refusing the word of the Lord that has told them to build. 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 Not yet. Not yet. It's not the time yet. What's the remnant doing? You know, this is the remnant. Making excuses. Why? Well, I'm sure they felt we'll never be able to achieve the glory of the former kingdom, the former temple in all of its glory. And no temple project physically ever did, again, meet the glory of Solomon's temple. But the real issue here, and Luther picks this up, had to do with the opposition. Listen to what he said. The word of God has this character, that it is made known and comes when man is most desperate over everything. When the things that nothing is less likely to happen than what the Word of God says most certainly will happen. It comes to the weak and the oppressed and to those in need. It's the Word of God which commands, and we must listen to it when the whole world resists it. The Word of God comes and says, do this. You say, there's no way we can. In the greatest moment of opposition, aren't the two sermons from today coming together now at this very moment of the building in Acts and the frustration and the opposition and the persecution? Now's not the time. Oh, really? Oh, really? And the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruin? Ouch. Ouch. That's striking. What if we went around surveying your houses tonight? How would they look? You put a lot of effort in your houses. your own paneled houses. Wainscot. It's the meaning there. It's the Hebrew word there, which means that he is looking at beautiful, inlaid, costly wood inside their houses. They cared a lot about their houses. They built themselves some beautiful houses. Is it time for that? And my house gets this treatment? Is it? You feel the indictment of this? Your situation can't be that oppressive. Right? You can't be that busy in life. Because you sure got a lot of time to build yourself your castles. That's the effect of this. You can't be that poor. Or look at how much time you've given to all your wants and desires. How can you stand there and say it's not the time to build when I'm telling you to build? How? Yet you have plenty of time and resource to do what you want to do. It's indicting in the old covenant, isn't it? It's indicting. Well, it's not so far off, is it? One of the things we often constantly say is when circumstances change then, when circumstances change then, when circumstances change then. Thus says the Lord. Is it time for you to give all of your time and energy to everything else other than what I'm doing? Is it? You think of Gehazi. When Naaman the Syrian, remember, and Elisha, and then Gehazi took the gift from Naaman, ran back and took the gift, and he said the same thing. Is it time, Gehazi? While my temple lies in shambles? I can't help but to think here, in the midst of the old covenant is utter compassion. How do you say how? The Lord doesn't need that temple. He didn't need no man to build him a temple. He had chosen that temple to be a place in the Old Testament where people would gather for what reason? Jesus told us it was to be a house of prayer for all the nations. It was to be a place of gospel. It was to be a place where blood and the high priest would go in once a year and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Atonement was made there. But they were too busy to set that up. They were too busy to be with that. This is where the law of God strikes us, doesn't it? In the things that God commands, he really doesn't need anything from us. He really doesn't. What does God need from you? Anything? But it's a remarkable thing when he is telling them, build my temple. It's a remarkable thing because he doesn't need the temple for himself. He commands you to make worship a priority of your life. Why? Why? Because he needs your worship. He commands you to take the supper. Why? Because he needs you to come and do this. He commands you to use your gifts. Why? Because he needs them. Or your neighbor. You see, it really does expose how selfish we are when we start answering questions like answering these questions and thinking about why the Lord always gets second. He does get second. All the way to the church library. We have more fear to take back our books to the city library because we'll get fined, right? Not the church library. In the Old Covenant, there were serious curses that fell on this. This is what the Lord did. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, verse 5. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one's warm. He who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. What happens when you put your money in a bag with holes? Where does it go? Everywhere. And you never have it. What is he describing? God sent leanness into their souls. What does that mean? It's Psalm 106. Listen to what it says. He gave them their request. He sent leanness into their souls. This is what God was saying. Consider your ways. If it were a psalm, Selah would sit right here. Meditate on your situation. Have you thought about, oh Judah, why you are not fulfilled? You have everything and you live in constant frustration. You have everything and you're never satisfied. It all goes into a bag with holes. Never satisfied was part of an old covenant curse. The Lord says, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains. Bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it, that I may be glorified. You looked for much. You notice it says that, verse 9, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. It's not that these sins don't occur in the new covenant, by the way. These people are a mirror to show us. That's what Israel is. It's a mirror to show us. Now, in the midst of this, it's almost as if we have a surprising twist. It's so shocking and so mesmerizing when you're looking at it and studying it, because you know what happened? If the temple, this went all the way to almost 520, the temple was completed by 516. 3 years this thing got built. 3 years. It's amazing what happens, for it says they listened, and before you they listened to the word of the Lord, and guess what happened? There's a crucial verse there. They feared him again. This is what we've been seeing in Acts over and over. It's not the dread as a sense of this is an angry father ready to strike me. They bowed to him as king. What motivated this? What happened to all of a sudden they go up and they start building? When they heard the indictment of Haggai bringing the lawsuit, which is what this was, they were cut to the heart and they were terrified in a sense. And in verse 12 says, they feared the presence of the Lord. And then God shows us something very powerful. What got them up? Who got them up? Verse 12, this figure shows up who is absolutely astonishing and shocking, his presence. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet. It's an amazing moment here. Zerubbabel, everyone knew, was a direct descendant of the royal line of David. The Davidic line from Jeconiah had been cursed, remember in Jeremiah, saying no descendant will ever come and sit on that throne again. But all of a sudden, we have a shocking interjection of this man, Zerubbabel, who was of the main Davidic line through Solomon. And people were looking, and they thought it was all over. And all of a sudden, this man gets up, who's of the line, and he gets up, and there was kind of a resurrection of the promise at that moment that they saw. The promise is back. And he's up. And his presence told them, God had not forgotten. God had not forgotten that there would be one who would come from the line of David who would sit on the throne forever. And the virgin birth would solve this curse and problem, wouldn't it? We've looked at that before. But here was a moment where this figure rises up and begins to build. The Spirit falls on him. They saw in him everything that spoke to the promise. They saw in him everything that pointed to the builder. Notice here three kinds of people are mentioned. You have a prophet, you have a priest, you got a king. All three all of a sudden show up in this project. Finally, by the mouth of Haggai the prophet, you'll notice here, there was one who had come, and the emphasis all falls on this figure, Zerubbabel. Forgiveness of sins is performed again. You'll notice Joshua the high priest making atonement, and then this man Zerubbabel stands up, and the Lord was again reviving the people in the promise. He was resurrecting the promise and resurrecting the people through it. Look at verse 13. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I'm with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. I can't help but to think of the shambles of the kingdom of God when Jesus stepped on the scene, and how everything was in shambles. And one day he looks at the whole establishment and says, destroy this temple and I'll raise it in 3 days. And here everything is coming into view, all of it. It was Jesus who was being shown to them, and Jesus who would come and build. And Jesus is the builder of the house. It was Jesus who was handed the scroll and talked about how the kingdom would be built when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all of the eyes of those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say, today, right now, now's the time the scripture's fulfilled in your hearing. I've come. The temple is going back up. The temple is going back up. Jesus Christ is who this is about. I want you to think tonight, then, of the whole scenario, both sermons today, and what they've challenged us to realize. It was the Spirit speaking this morning through the apostles to advance God's kingdom through the message of the gospel, of a message of Jesus who's lived and died and rose again. And that name is being proclaimed to the ends of the earth. The people of Haggai's day were discouraged by outside problems. They were discouraged by all the conflict. They were discouraged thinking things wouldn't work. They were heavily assaulted. And the Lord raised up a builder right in front of them who built the house of the Lord. And guess what happened? All those people saw that. They saw God's builder, and they joined the project. They got up. And this is the whole message for us, I believe, in this first part tonight. It's not to say now is not the time. He doesn't need to look at our houses, right, and tell us if our priorities are right, does he? You know that. You know where your priorities are. You know what you put your time in. You know what your houses look like. But he's raised a temple. He's raised a temple. He's constructed something beautiful. And guess what? It's a temple made without hands. It's the temple of his body. And guess what you are? His building project. It's not this. This aids us in that building project. You're the building project. God has set up a kingdom in his Son. He is the builder. You have become builders with him in this mighty kingdom that he's established. And guess what? Does he need your work? He's included you by grace. He's given you a place to serve. And the marvel of it is he uses us, weak sinners, to accomplish so great a salvation through the message and through your love in this place of your neighbor. Think about it. How are you involved in his kingdom? How are you involved in his project? The temple is up. Do you see it? It's all over the world today. It's a people. It's a people made of living stones, a holy temple unto the Lord, says the New Testament. I hope that gives us an introduction and encouragement tonight. The Lord has included us in this building project. He saved us. We're his people. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may our souls be stirred because of his great salvation and love for us to participate and value and buy into and be involved with and put first place what he's building. That's a challenge to us. That's a challenge as all of this has come to us by grace, as he has loved us in his Son. You are a people, a holy temple unto the Lord. What place does that have? Thank you, Lord, that your Son built this temple and gave his life for it. A people that would be saved and brought into that place, a church without spot or without wrinkle. And that's who you are. I hope that encourages us tonight and gives us a good start in the book of Haggai. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your wonderful word, your gospel, your truth to us. This holy temple that's being built up that we're a part of, and we all confess that we have been guilty of putting everything else, our homes, our things, our own houses, our families, everything else before you. And yet you've set this up to be a great benefit to us. You gave your Son who died and raised in his body the very temple of all of this is what it foreshadowed. May we be involved as your people, thankful to be members of your kingdom, grateful for what we're a part of, and remembering that you are still building people, bringing real people into this kingdom, a kingdom that can never be shaken. Thank you for giving us a place in it. May we love our neighbor in the same way as we have received so much grace from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are out of time. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Chris and an exciting announcement about an upcoming conference being held at Escondido URC that Pastor Chris is a part of. In the meantime, if you have questions or comments about the program today, we would invite you to reach out to us. Now, there are several ways that you can do so. You can visit our website, agradio.org. It's there that you will also find links to some of the other platforms that we are on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And again, that's agradio.org. Past programs can be found there as we archive all of our broadcasts at that website. If you have other questions or concerns, maybe you'd like to partner with us financially, reach out to us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. As promised, now once again, here's Pastor Chris with an exciting announcement about an upcoming regional Ligonier conference hosted at the URC Church in Escondido. Chris?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. That was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is If the Foundations Are Destroyed. And that's kind of based in Psalm 11. The talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed. looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And then come back and join us again next time as our studies in the Word of God will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.